Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. If you haven't heard of Red Letter Rising yet, you're about to. Let's broaden your horizons.
Hey, David. You and I have talked before, but this is our first chance to finally get an interview in.
When you was like, hey, do you want to do it? That's why I was like, yep, I do. To me, it's an honor. Appreciate it.
That goes for both of us.
Tell me a little bit about who you are first before we talk about Red Letter Rising.
I am Red Letter Rising. The other guys are like
touring.
Hired guns. Touring musicians. There you go. Yeah.
Are you guys like a three-piece when you go out?
Yeah. Bass is just something that we found that we can just throw it in the tracks.
So your bassist's name is MacBook.
Yeah. Yeah. Mac. Yeah. First name Mac, last name Book.
Yeah.
Well, I am David, and I am going to be turning 43 in 5 days, and I've been playing music since I was 16. Had the dream of making it big on a tour bus and everything. Did not happen. And once I decided, okay, I'm good with not being in a band full time and traveling around, that's when God said, okay, I want you in a band traveling around full time. You know, it's like being Moses out in the desert for 40 years. And then God says, all right, now I want to use you. Like, that's how it was for me. Like, I'm 40 something years old. Now I want to use you. So I just had to be put in a different state of mind than that rock star mentality. But yeah, I grew up, I was born here in High Point where I live, raised in Thomasville, about 20 minutes down the road, a little small town. And my grandparents primarily raised me. My parents were around, but they had their issues. It's part of my testimony. So my grandparents took over, and that's where I had my Christian foundation growing up and stuff. And I rebelled. I rebelled hard. Actually, by the time I was 16, I was involved in Satanism. I actually started out in witchcraft and then full-fledged into Satanism from there. Huge Marilyn Manson fan, and that's kind of where the love of music came from. I'll take that back. The love of music came from my family. My grandfather was a singer, but that was the love of being in a band and wanting to be famous and stuff like that came from that time in my life. And as I grew up with, you know, my issues, my childhood trauma issues, that started developing my bad decisions, and it's all a part of my testimony. And that's where the music's coming from. That's where the lyrics come from.
When did you say, you know what, it's time for me to start a band? How did that come about?
Well, this particular with Red Letter Rising, I didn't want a band. So I spent, again, back to the bad decisions, I spent 15 months incarcerated from November 2016 to February 2018. And I think it was exactly 492 days. And that's where God radically changed my heart. I call it, I had the head education. Now I have the heart education. So, you know, it was rock bottom. I lost everything. And I get out and I started, you know, everyone thought like, oh, he's going to start a church. He's going to start a ministry. He's going to be this, you know, big guy in the church. But actually, I ended up battling depression and severe panic attacks for about a year. And, you know, it stems from my rejection and abandonment issues growing up, because when I got out, people rejected me. I lost my family. My wife didn't want anything to do with me. She divorced me, had a son that, you know, I don't get to see or talk to. So I went to deep, deep depression and had a time. I say suicidal, but it wasn't really that I wanted to kill myself. It was more of praying, God, can I just come home? Like, I'm just tired of this. And I actually touched base on that in the song Identity Christ Is, because so while I'm battling this depression, I have my guitar and I have my laptop, and I was just recording music, recording songs. And that was my therapy. And then I got a dog. And then my dog was part of my therapy. And I would stay up 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning writing songs. And then I would make YouTube videos of me playing them so I could remember what I was playing, because I would write it and record it and then forget it. or I'd forget how to play it exactly. But when I would have a panic attack, I would grab my phone and I would type in my notes how I was feeling. After I got out of jail, Relentless Flood was playing at a local place because we're from basically the same area, not too far from each other. I was there watching them, and I talked to Marshall and Dylan and was like, dude, I have some ideas. I have some music, but I'm a guitar player, a drummer, and a bass player. I'm not a vocalist. Could y'all help me develop these into songs? And it was one of the things like, yeah, we'll do it. But everyone's just so busy that we couldn't really nail it down. So I kind of gave up on it. And then by 2020, really started getting this urge to just go into the studio. Because, you know, at the time, I'm around 40 years old. And I have nothing to show for anything that I've done musically. I don't have that CD that I can go grab off the shelf and say, I did that.
Right.
And so I hit Dylan up and I was like, dude, I've got 10 songs I want to record. I've got a vocalist. I want to come in and do it. I don't know if you were able to catch all of our set at a Kingdom Come Festival, but Autumn, who got up and did one of the songs with us, she was going to be my vocalist. But then when it came time to do it, it started kind of, I don't want to do all the songs. I don't, like, I'm not your singer. I'll come and do a couple of your songs. And the way my mind works, I'm just the type's like, okay, fine, I'll do it. Because I was kind of stubborn, like all or nothing. But I'm sitting right here where I'm at right now in my home studio. And I'm not a vocalist. I can't sing. I can't do anything. I don't know how to write music. If the guitar part goes ding, 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 and I try to write lyrics to that or vocals, my vocals go ding, 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 ding. It goes right along with it. Like, how in the world do people create this melody that goes like, you know, like over top?
Yeah. Kind of weaves in and out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do they do that? And, you know, the way God is, you know, if he has a plan and a purpose, he's going to provide everything you need. And so through my stubbornness of all or nothing and fine, I'll just do it myself, he started giving me some cadences. and it just started coming together. And the whole second verse of Identity Christ is straight from a poem that I wrote while I was having a panic attack. And so I'm starting to see, like, he's taking this terrible time in my life, this depression, these panic attacks that I was having. Before this, I had maybe 3 panic attacks my entire life. For almost a whole year, I was having multiple a day.
Wow.
And it was just, I mean, it's like I was out, you know,
that's
jail.
Crippling.
It is. It really is. I did a Pride program. It's not, you know, that Pride, but like it's an acronym for something, but it was for those struggling with addiction. Yeah. And it's 45 days of military style rehabilitation that's in jail. So I did that, and you know, all that stuff was like tough. But I get out and I can leave and I can do what I want to do. But I'm standing at my front door looking out the window and then finally realize, oh, I can walk out. Oh, I can leave. And it's like I was more free when I was in there than I was being out here because my mind was still in jail. Still.
Was it like trying to make decisions were hard because everything else had been decided for you?
Absolutely. Laundry was done for you. You know, you got your food served to you. You didn't have to worry about your bills or anything like that. I mean, once I got this sort of kick in the butt to just start writing lyrics, I just tapped into all the things that I struggled with, all the things that I went through. I have a saying, make it matter. So if negative things happen in your life, make it matter, like overcome, like use it. Use it as a testimony. My past is my testimony, not my resume. So use whatever it is that happened in your life and make it matter. If positive things happen in your life, don't waste it away. make it matter. So that's where I'm at this point is I'm deciding I'm going to take everything that I've gone through, everything that I've done, because I wasn't a victim in all this. I was a perpetrator in a lot of this. So I'm going to take it on. I'm going to make it matter. And so I go into the studio and it just starts coming out. And it's crazy to look back on now, you know, 2 years since I went into the studio and to see what it is now. Well, to, you know, get more specific about the question is, like I said, I didn't want a band. I just wanted to record an album. But as I'm recording this, God's stirring my heart, like, maybe it's not terrible. It's pretty good. Like, maybe. And I'm a big believer in, like, reading scripture. There's God's part and then there's our part. So God's doing his part, but I also need to do my part. I need to make myself available. I need to do what a good steward would do with the gift that he's given me. And so he gave me the name Red Letter Rising, which, you know, is the red letters of Christ. And it means that because of Christ on the cross and him rising from the dead, that we can also be raised with him and we can overcome the sin, the trauma, the issues that we've all dealt with, and some are self-inflicted, but we can overcome those things through the red letters of Christ. Next thing you know, I'm talking to Jeffrey Parr from Broadhead Music Group, and then I'm meeting Randall, and then we're talking about a development deal, and then I'm signing, and then it just snowballs, just kept going and going and going. Yeah.
Once you got that music out of you, did the panic attacks and stuff lessen? Was that release of that music kind of a healing process?
Yeah. As I'm recording at home, it's like, it's kind of weird. You know, I've never actually been asked that question. But if I think about it and I just try to go back to that moment, I relate it to just living your purpose in general. Like, you ever try to eat tomato soup with a fork? You eat a little bit, but it's not to the fullest potential, right?
Right.
So it's like, you know, when you're not living the purpose that God created you for, then it's like trying to eat tomato soup with a fork. But when you are living the purpose he created you for, that's the most fulfilling that you could have in your life. And God uses panic attacks to get my attention. And I believe he was allowing those in my life because I had to tap in to these emotions, to these feelings, to these lyrics, you know, the poems and the spoken word things and stuff that I was writing. So that's why that was there. And then by me writing the music, by me writing the lyrics, by me singing it, stuff like that, that's when I felt okay. That's when I felt normal. Then all of a sudden, it's almost like it was a new addiction, because once I would complete one song, I'd, you know, write it, record it, get the video made. Then all of a sudden, well, now what? Now I got to do another one. And then I'll write another one. And then going into the studio with Dylan and actually making this album, it was almost like if you could go back in time and talk to yourself and say, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Right now you're suffering. Right now you're going through a little something. You know, it talks about that Second Peter, you know, for, you know, a little time of suffering. And so now I'm feeling okay, and I have overcome those issues. And now I get to take that and relate it to people who are going through it right now.
What kind of response are you looking for from the songs that you've created?
I'll answer that with testimony of what I've heard from fans. And that's one telling me that she was struggling with physical issues, like health issues. And the song Better Days helped remind her that God is with her and that she will be okay. If we play in a bar where the audience is not a Christian audience, when I'm singing like Identity Christ is, you want free, but you can't see who died for you. Like in that moment that I'm looking at these people looking back at me, I'm saying a little prayer like, God, get them. When I'm playing in front of an audience like a KCF and I'm looking out and like, of course, as a performer, you want the crowd to jump up and down and go crazy, stuff like that. But it's also an honor to watch people just stand there and take it in. Mm-hmm. And so the lyrics that I'm writing and singing or rapping or screaming, whatever I'm doing in that moment, I do take pride in the feedback that you can actually understand what I'm saying whenever I'm doing it. So I know that they may not remember the lyrics to be able to sing them back, but they're hearing it, you know, and it's kind of like, if you were to give me directions to your house, you're going to give me all these landmarks to look out for, right? But if you ask me, okay, repeat all that back to me, I'm not going to be able to. But as I'm on my way to your house and I pass these landmarks, I'm going to remember, oh yeah, she said that, she said that, she said that. So that's the biggest thing, is these lyrics. But hopefully something is going to stick, that when you're going through something, then you're going to be able to say, oh yeah, I remember that, what he said in that song, you know, he was rapping about and stuff like that. So I don't take it lightly. I don't take it for granted. This is not just, let me write a cool song so I could get a bunch of streams or get some recognition and get on a big ticket with a big band or something. This is specifically to reach the least of these, the misfits, the black sheep, the rejects.
Which song would you say is your heart, or maybe it's the same one that might be the one you would say, if you listen to any of my songs, I want you to listen to this one?
Breaking Free.
And why?
Because that is my testimony. That is, I'm actually doing a lot of just talking during the verse. And that is more about my heart. The chorus sings, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. That's my heart. I made victims in my life. I hurt people in my life. And that's my redemption song. If you listen to it, you'll be able to hear, like, okay, this dude recognizes where he's messed up, and he recognizes that he's not that same person anymore.
So how have your priorities changed over the last year, let's say?
I'm mission-minded. I am, you know, 100%. I have to stay focused on God being number one in this. If God's not in it, I'm not with it. I mean, he could literally take this away at any moment. So my whole life revolves around making sure that I am honoring God in everything that I do, not just within the band, but within my own personal life, because who you are behind closed doors is who you really are. And so it's really helped me. It's kind of been accountability in a sense of helping me stay focused on that real relationship with God. Now, it still comes with mistakes. It still comes with some bad decisions. But I screw up enough with Jesus in my life. You don't want to see me without him.
I hear that. Amen. What inspires you?
Honestly, the listeners. KCF was our fifth show since we've started. And so every show is an opportunity to learn something new. To be on the stage and watch the audience, not just in our set, but also in some of the other band set, and to be able to see their reactions, and then to go to the merch table and to have people come up to you. Like, one couple came up and said, I could tell when you were talking about the song Why, that there's a story there. Would you mind sharing that story with me? That's what it's about. It's about the people. Jesus came to earth because it was about the people. God could have established any method that he wanted to for salvation, any method that he wanted to for redemption, but he chose the personal avenue, the personal way, to have his son come down as a human and to walk with humans and to relate with them, not in sin, but to relate with them and their emotions and their feelings. You know, Jesus wept. Jesus was a man of sorrows. And one thing that I'm kind of, I'll go ahead as a nice little segue into this. Jesus was a reject because he was rejected by his own people. You know, Matthew 25 talking about the least of these. Did you feed them? Did you clothe them? Did you do all these things? If you did it for them, you did it for me. So for me, when I think about this kid, Kane, he's probably 12, 13 years old, maybe, who comes up to me and he's talking about how he's going to youth camp and how he went before and they kind of picked on or bullied a little bit, and how this time he's going to dye his hair red to make a statement and to like say, look, you're not going to bother me. You're not going to bring me down. You can say what you want to, but it's not going to get me. I was like, heck yeah, dude. Hey, if you do that, I want to send a picture, tag us in it. I want to see it. And sure enough, he did. That's what it's about. It's people like Kane. I just think about me. Like, I was a bully growing up. You know, I had to fit in. I had to be the cool kid and stuff. But when God humbled me, when God, you know, some of us are particular, like tropical plants. We can only grow in certain places. So I had to grow in jail. So when I lost everything and I was truly humbled, that's when God gave me the love in my heart that I never experienced before. And because of that, now I can look at people that the old me would have picked on, the old me would have bullied, and now I can look on them with compassion and with love. That's why Jesus told Peter, like, do you love me? Feed my sheep. You love me? Tend my sheep. Like, that's what we're supposed to do. So that's my motivation, is the listeners.
I want to rewind a little bit. You mentioned the song Why and how it was very personal. Can you tell us why? Why?
Again, I was making videos to put on YouTube just as a like a storage. This is the archives, right? And I'm pretty sure that was the last song that I had written that I put on there as far as instrumental. So when God gave me, you know, the vision, the idea, 10 songs, specifically 10 songs, even with, now going to rabbit trail for a second, with the song Truth of Life, when I was first writing the lyrics to that, it sounded like a 90s youth group type song. And I was like, okay, this is corny. I don't like it. So that's why I reached out to Miggy and got Miggy on the track and started developing and writing it and reforming it. And it turned into one of the best songs that we have. But with
And I'm
why,
sure you're speaking of Miggy Sanchez of Berlin.
Yeah, I am. Yep. Okay. So Truth of Life, I was like, well, maybe I'll just do 9 songs. Nah, you can't do 9 songs. That's stupid. Let's just do 8 songs. But then I got to drop another song. I don't want to drop another song. I just want to drop 1 song. I guess I got to do 10 songs. So I got to make it work. So whenever I decided to go with Truth of Life, and then it's like, okay, well, let's pick what wasn't Why at the time. It was just instrumental. I'm sitting there like, okay, well, now I got to write something. Well, my grandfather passed away in August of 2020. Mm. And my wife and I got married in April of 2021. And we had a wedding out in the woods. It was like a grunge rock / rustic type theme. And I took this, my grandfather's antique table that he had beside his chair in the living room to use at the wedding, so we could put pictures and items from people that we had lost that weren't able to be there, you know, at the wedding. Yeah. And so then I kept that table. I brought it home. And this particular day that I'm sitting here with this instrumental, and I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't know, like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Well, I took a break and I'm looking around, and I was going through that drawer at one point before. So I went back and looked at it again, and I pulled out this picture, like the Kmart special of like 8x10 of me, my mom, and my dad when I was like 8 years old. And, you know, my mom, she left when I was about 10 or 11 years old. And, you know, even though my mom and dad had their issues and I had to be raised by my grandparents, I still love my mom. I was still a mama's boy. And so when she left, I would say that's probably a lot of the core issues that I have is from that abandonment. Yeah. So I would be at my grandparents' house and I would call and ask my mom to come pick me up because I wanted to see her. And she'd say, yeah, baby, I'll come pick you up. I got to do this. I'll be in a little bit. And I'd go sit on the front porch and she'd never show up. I've seen my mom one time, about to be 43. That was when I was 11. I've seen her one time since. Mm-hmm. I was about 32 at the time. So here I am picking up this picture out of this drawer, and it's the first picture I've seen of my mom in years. And I sit down with it in this chair at the computer, and as the song is going, it's like, I'm just hearing, why? And so, why'd you have to go and leave me? Why'd you have to say? And it just started forming, just started coming out. And then the chorus, all these questions, you know, ask my mother, ask my father, can we go back? Basically, can we get a redo? Can I do this again? And there's actually a music video for it on our YouTube channel that depicts this parallel of me as a young boy having fun with my mom and then her not being there. And then it ends with my stepson, who's playing the younger version of me, sitting on the front porch, and then me sitting on the front porch, and this parallel of older, younger, older, younger. And then we both see something and we look, and it's mom. And then he gets up and he's running to go hug his mother. But it's, you know, it keeps flipping back and forth between him and me, him and me, him and me. And my mother-in-law plays the older version of my mother. And that last little moment, that last why at the end, is Mason goes to hug his mother, but it cuts to me going to go hug my mother. And then as I wrap my arms around her, she disappears and she's not there. So it's kind of like representing that even after all these years, I still wish I had my mother.
Still very painful.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I don't care what people think. Like, yeah, we're a Christian band and, you know, I'm going to talk about Jesus, but I'm also going to talk about the real things in life that people go through, because they need to know that you're not alone, first of all, and that we can be the reflection of God's love and God's comfort for other people. But we can't do that if we can't understand what they're going through.
Right.
And that's what I want people to know. So that's why I dig deep and kind of have no, you know, some people are like, well, maybe you should kind of not do it. Like, no, because I also have a song, it's not on the album, standalone song called Serenity's Last Call. And it was inspired by a friend of mine who overdosed. And so in that music video, I show this girl who represents being lost in darkness, lost in addiction, trying to find her way out. And in that video, I actually think it's 36 pictures that I'm going through of real people who lost their battle to either addiction or to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned from that was the families, they were so thankful. Because families who have suffered the loss of someone from suicide or addiction, overdose, they really can't memorialize or honor their loved one like other forms of losing someone.
I agree. Unfortunately, from personal experience, there's so much shame attached to it. Even though you don't really have any control over what your loved one did, you're kind of left to grieve alone.
They're black sheep. You know, it's like, oh, well, they brought it on to themselves, so they don't deserve the same honor, the same. It's like, shut up. Like, they were people and they had struggles like we all do, and some unfortunately lost, but their stories still matter. Their stories can still help someone else.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
What is the name of the album?
Echoes of Eden.
And where can people find it?
As far as streaming it on all streaming platforms, all of them.
Okay.
As far as purchasing hard copy, only at shows, because we don't have an online store right now.
Okay. What's your favorite road snack?
I'm really fond of these nerd cluster. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yep. I have to have something that's chocolate, and then I have to have something that's kind of like candy, kind of sour or whatever.
So, what's your favorite chocolate?
I love chocolate cover, like Goobers, chocolate covered peanuts.
Okay. I appreciate you doing this, and it was so good to meet you this last weekend. Hopefully see you some more out there on the road.
Can't wait.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music and check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week and let's be kind to one another.